A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star at its rising and have come to do him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was greatly troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. Assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, and thus it has been written through the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, since from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people.'" Then Herod called the Magi secretly and ascertained for them the time of the star's appearance. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the child. When you have found him, bring me word that I too may do him homage." After their audience with the king, they set out, and behold, the star that they had seen at the rising preceded them until it came and stopped over the place where the child was. They were overjoyed at seeing the star, and on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They prostrated themselves and did him homage. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
The Gospel, may our sins be wiped away.
The three wise men brought gifts to the Christ child. One brought gold, the second brought frankincense, but the third said, "Wait, there's myrrh." I'm going to wrap it up, though. I don't know. You know that Epiphany is still Christmas, that it's still the manifestation of the Christ child. And you know that tomorrow, with the baptism of the Lord, the Christmas season liturgically ends. And Epiphany is not just about the visit of the Magi to the Christ child. It also encompasses, if you will, the baptism of the Lord and the wedding feast of Cana. That all three feasts, in a sense, are wrapped up in this feast of Epiphany, manifesting the presence of the Lord, present appearing in the flesh to humanity. So it's the idea of the universal call of salvation of all mankind, the incorporation into the church by baptism, and the call to continue to seek Jesus throughout our lives are all encompassed in the readings and in the prayers of this Mass. Matthew frames his gospel, if you will, with two questions. The question of the Magi, you know, where is the newborn king of the Jews that we may pay him homage? And then the question of Pilate, are you indeed the king of the Jews? So it is a question that's pretty important to Matthew. It should be a question that's pretty important to us. That it's a question that we should keep asking ourselves, where is Christ in my life? Am I seeking the Lord in my life? Am I seeking to do his will, or am I trying to do my own will? Am I seeking to do what God wants of me, or am I just following my own inclinations and my own passions, if you will, in my life? There is a contrast between the pagan kings, the three Magi, and Herod and the religious authorities of that day. The religious authorities should have known better. They should have been seeking out the king, the true king, Jesus. And yet, they have to be told that we saw his star, we know he's around, we know he's been born, and yet Herod and the religious authorities don't have the humility to admit they were wrong and to go seek that child so that they might pay him homage. Instead, they're upset because now their kingdom is going to be dispossessed. Now their kingdom is going to be upset. So instead of seeking the king, Herod says, "Well, go tell him, tell us how he is, you know, and I'll come visit him later." We should understand, sisters and brothers, that religious observance is itself no guarantee that our faith is as strong as it should be, or that we truly believe in the presence of the Lord. Presence, especially in the Eucharist, presence in the Word and the proclamation of the Word, present in you. For he said, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there am I present in your midst. So are we seeking him, but do we also recognize his presence in our lives? This feast of Epiphany is about, you know, the universal call of salvation. All mankind is called to follow this child, to seek out this child. The Epiphany shows that the full number of nations now takes its place in the family of the patriarchs. So, you know, Christ is the fulfillment of the desires and the needs of the human race, of everyone. So the Epiphany, the mystery of Epiphany, is somehow connected to the mystery of the church, because God is about forming his people into one people, into the church, into his mystical body. So, you know, when you were baptized, the priest said to you, "See in this white garment the outward sign of your Christian dignity." And you became Christ, St. Augustine said. And when you receive the Eucharist, you are strengthened and you are united to Christ a little bit more. It's a little bit like, you know, you see your children maybe wearing your clothes. The big shoes, the big pants, the big overcoat. And they look silly and they look cute and adorable. Well, in a certain sense, that's you and I. We are clothed with Christ. But we haven't grown completely into him yet. So we are in that process, if you will, of inheriting the kingship of Christ in our lives. Because when you were baptized as prophets, as priests, and as kings. So you want to come into that royalty. But remember, you know, like King David, David was persecuted, was anointed as a teenager, and he had to run from King Saul. He had to run from the plague. He had to run from his enemies, his own family sometimes. And so you and I as well should not become discouraged when we find ourselves being persecuted or being challenged or finding obstacles in front of us. You know, our faith is not going to be a walk in the park. It says in Scripture, you know, whenever you decide to follow the Lord, prepare yourself for a trial. So we should not become discouraged or think God hates me when things go our way. We can be sure that they are going God's way, that God is in charge. And he's calling us, you know, with the Magi to come and adore him. That process of growing and becoming Christ, we hear about in the preface. In the preface we read, when he appeared in our mortal nature, he made us new by the glory of his immortal nature. It's a battle, folks. It's a struggle. You know, it's a painful struggle sometimes because we are being transformed into Christ. The mysteries of the life of Christ are meant to communicate to us his grace, so that gradually he's being formed within us. And that's what the church is all about. That's why he gives us the church. You know, we go to God through one another. We hear God speak to us through one another, through the church, and through one another. In our prayer, yeah, you know, we may feel this conviction to do this or that, but we're going to hear it also through the church, and we're going to hear it through one another, through family, through friends, through people who know us. Maybe even through the priest or the deacon sometimes. But that's how God chooses to minister to us. We don't go to God alone. We go to God as a body, as the body of Christ. In its document, Lumen Gentium in Vatican II, it says, God will to make men holy and save them, not as individuals, but rather to make them into a people who might acknowledge him and serve him in holiness. We are not meant to be cowboy Christians alone in the prairie of our own idea of who God is. God has given us and revealed to us who he is. He tries to teach us through his word and through the catechism, through the teachings of the church, because, you know, doctrine, it's not about a head trip. It's about growing in love. It's about growing in love for God and knowing who God is. And how's God, how are we going to know who God is unless he reveals himself to us? And he has revealed himself to us, you know, through the church, the teachings of the church, through his word. So we should not go off, you know, on our own. We should always, you know, come back to the body, because we need the body, because the journey is hard. The journey gets dark sometimes. We lose sight of the star sometimes. So we need to ask for help. The church is a special dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. So together with the Magi, may we fall down to worship Christ as we come before the invisible face of God, now made visible by the Christ child. But we offer him the incense of our reverence, the gold of our love. And may we show that love by offering him the more, the mirror that he's asking for, which is what? Our willingness to be united to him in his suffering. God shares with us his very life. He shared with the apostles, and he wants to share with us his mission, his joys, but also his suffering. Unless you take up your cross, you cannot be my disciple. God love you, and God bless you.